Processes and tools dominate today's Agile discussions, but we are devoted to the individuals and interactions that make it work. From the beginner to the veteran practitioner, we have something for you. Welcome to Agile for Humans.
So before we get started today, there's a few questions that I get asked quite a bit that I wanted to address, one of them during the show. So the question is, how do I start my own podcast? And I find that this is a question that people hesitate to ask me. And I want you to know it's a question that I welcome and that I get probably once or twice every couple of weeks. I want more Agile podcasts out there. And so this episode is actually dedicated to how to get your podcast out into the world, how to get your Agile content out and available. So I've brought on a good friend of mine, Chris Spangle. He's going to walk us through the steps to building a podcasting empire like he's done with his podcast efforts. He's also the social media director for a nationally syndicated radio show. So he knows the ins and outs of both the promotional side and the creation side. It's a really fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it. The second question that I get, and it's one that I've been very hesitant to answer and really have not done a lot of discussion on the show about, is how can we support you and the show? And I'm honored and I'm humbled and just love the fact that you're asking that question. I've really not put a ton of effort into monetization and creating pathways for you, the listener, to actually support and help me with the show. And I thought, you know, why don't we go ahead and talk about that? And so first and foremost, I want you to understand that Agile for Humans will always be a free podcast. So it will never be behind any kind of paywall. You're not going to have to pay to listen to it. This is a community thing. It's a community effort. And I'm very proud to put this content out into the community for all of you to listen to. So with that said, there are ways you can help the show. So first of all, sharing the show. You know, the numbers go up every month. I talk about that at the end of a lot of shows. And that means that you're sharing the show with friends, family, colleagues, and coworkers. You know, sharing gets the word out about the show. It helps the numbers go up, and it just helps us in so many different ways. And I appreciate every time you share the show. If you can continue to do that, it's a great way to help me and to support the program. Rate us on iTunes and leave an honest review. So if you really like the show, you're getting a lot out of it. If you could click over to iTunes, there will be links to all of these things in the show notes. Leave us a quick review. Tell iTunes how great the show is and what you're getting out of it. That helps spread the word. There's algorithms that they use. It can move it up to the top of certain lists and get some more exposure. That's a great way to help the show. Join the mailing list. So there is a mailing list that I have where every time I post a podcast episode, you get an email. We're going to start using that mailing list for other things in the future, some Agile and Scrum tips, things like that. You know, if you really want to stay looped in and a part of the Agile for Humans community, I would love it if you would sign up for the mailing list. There's also a survey that I've added through PodTrack on the website. You can take a moment, fill out that survey. It helps me understand who you are, what your needs are, the demographics of the people listening to the show. That can help us with advertising and monetization down the road. You know, that would be a great way to help as well. These TechWell events. So during this episode, there will be an advertisement from TechWell. Normally, it's for one of their conferences. This time, it's for Agile Connection. But if you're planning on going to a TechWell event, if you could use the Agile Dev code as you sign up, first of all, it saves you money, but it also tells TechWell that the Agile for Humans community is stepping up and they're out there and they're going to participate in this great event. Coming up in November, I'm going to be at Agile Dev East. I think I'm giving now 6 total talks, 2 workshops, 2 sessions, a leadership summit talk, and a lightning keynote. So I'll be very active out there, and I'm hoping to see many of you out there. If you're going to go to Agile Dev East, please use the Agile Dev code, save yourself some money, and tell our wonderful advertiser just how much Agile for Humans listeners show up. The Leadership Gift Program. I'm a big believer and supporter and proponent of Christopher Avery's Leadership Gift. And so I do have an affiliate link. This is something that, again, with the TechWell advertisement, you guys know that I'm engaged with them. I speak at their conferences. I write for the Agile Connection site. I write for their Insights site. They have a great staff. I love working with them. And so I support them, and I'm proud to promote them. I feel the same way about Christopher Avery and the Leadership Gift. This program is what fuels my Agile practice. I think it can help not only you as an Agilist, it's been powerful in my marriage, in my relationships with friends, with family. For me, it's been a wonderful experience. Maybe I'll talk about this more in a future episode, but there is a link for you to learn more about it, and I would be really happy if you'd click that and check it out. And then Amazon links. Every once in a while we promote, well, actually we promote a book on every show note for every episode. You know, if you are going to buy one of the books, if you'd click the link, that helps us out. And all of these ways cost you nothing. When you sign up for the TechWell event, you actually save money by using the code. You sign up for the Leadership Gift or buy something off of Amazon. All of that stuff is affiliate related. It's no additional cost. And it just helps me and the show. And I really, really appreciate it. So again, Agile for Humans will always be free. After getting this question over and over and over, how can you, the listener, help the show, support me, show just some appreciation? You know what? I decided let's give some ways for you guys to do that. And again, no obligations. The show is free. I did add one mechanism. So there's a lot of podcasters out there using Patreon, and this is a new experiment. So there now is a link to Patreon. There are levels of rewards that I've set up for Agile for Humans listeners. If you really decide that you're getting a ton of value out of Agile for Humans, you'd like to donate at $1, $5, $10. There's a bunch of different levels per month for the show. We've created that opportunity. Again, you're under no obligation to do that. Sharing the show, reviewing it in iTunes, joining the mailing list, taking the survey, checking out some of the books, the TechWell events, the Leadership Gift program, all those things that are free. Those are amazingly powerful and help me out so much that, you know, please focus in those areas. But if you want to go above and beyond, if you're really getting that value and you really want to give back, we have created that Patreon option. So all of those things are out there. I just want to say, first of all, thank you. You know, I've hesitated on this question for a number of years, and all of you out there, and at least many of you out there, have asked it over and over and over. I get a lot of emails of, Ryan, we really want to help you. We want to support your show. We get a lot of value out of it. How can we give back? We've held off on that for almost 3 years now. Went ahead and set some of these things up and went ahead and talked about some of these. Again, you're under no obligation. You know, it feels weird for me to even make this available. But, you know, since it was asked for multiple times, along with how to create a podcast, I thought I'd go ahead and address those. But I think that's enough of this stuff. I really wanted to get to the show. This is a great episode with Chris Spangl. I think you're going to learn a lot about podcasting, how to set up a podcast, what it takes to sustain a podcast. We even go into some of the strategies and psychology, and I think it'll be very valuable if you've been thinking about doing this and you want to get into it. Yeah, let's get to the show. But again, just thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you so much for caring about the show. Thank you for all of the sharing that you've done. You've turned this show into the top downloaded Agile podcast on iTunes, and I just cannot thank all of you enough. For what you've done for me in the past and what you may do in the future. And I really hope you enjoy this one. If you have questions, comments, you know, what do you think about some of the stuff I've just talked about, you know, throw that in the comment section on the blog site. I'll be sure to answer as many of those as possible. And let's get over to the second question about podcasting, and I hope you enjoy the show. All right, welcome to this week's episode of Agile for Humans. I'm your host, Ryan Ripley. Joining me today, I'm really excited about this. It's an old friend of mine. He's the director of social media, I believe, at a nationally syndicated radio show, creator of the Wall Network, a massive political podcasting platform that just has grown by leaps and bounds. And he's my podcasting mentor. And of course, I'm talking about Mr. Chris Spangl. Chris, how are you, sir?
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Yeah, super excited to have you on. So, Chris, I get a lot of questions from the podcast listeners out there. They're asking me, at least on a weekly basis, what kind of equipment do you use? How did you get started in podcasting? How do I build a website? What are, you know, all of those great questions that people ask because they hear, you know, people like you and I talking online and they think, hey, I could do that too. And I want to help them. Right? Because I think, you know, podcasting, I think you and I share the philosophy that podcasting isn't some zero-sum game. You know, there's room for everybody. And actually, I want more content because I like listening to podcasts and I run out. You can only listen to so much Joe Rogan.
Well, he makes it easy because everyone's 3.5 hours. I'm listening to one right now about the Google guy that got fired, and I'm like 8 hours into it and still not over. But yeah, and we're kind of like that too. We're libertarians where every episode's, you know, longer than an hour, 2 hours, sometimes three when we're pushing it. And I get the same stuff too. I have another podcast called The Chris Spangle Show, and I did a couple hours on why you should podcast and how to podcast. And it's because of the same thing that you got. I mean, people want to, they really enjoy what we do, and not to, you know, pat ourselves on the back too much, but I love this medium, and I love the ability to have the freedom to break out complex ideas like political thought or, in your case, tech ideas, and put it into a long-form subject that people can listen to as they're driving. And I think it's a great way to change minds because, like, if you're in politics, for instance, you can't change anybody's mind in a Facebook argument, but you can do it when they're kind of passively listening in the car driving or doing or cooking dinner or whatever. So I just think it's such a great medium. And like you said, I work in radio by day, and that is any radio show, your average listener is 17 minutes on their drive to work. And so they're not you're not able as a content creator in the radio world able to do long form content in the way that podcasters are. So it's a much different set of skills and a much different delivery device. But I think the human voice and audio and podcasting is really the best way to get any message out. And I think if you take any subject, any style of podcasting, and you just try it and you do it over and over and over, you can eventually build an audience because you will get better. People who are like-minded will gather around you and you'll build your own little tribe of people. And so that's why I say, like, if you're an albino that knits sweaters in the tech space, start a podcast around that, and you will find other albino tech sweater knitters. So it is just really amazing to see the podcast explosion and see how many people can gather an audience around themselves and start to make a living at it. So even us guys who are in the mid-level of podcast audiences can make a living at this, or a really nice second income like you and I have been able to do.
Yeah, it's really been a rewarding part of the whole thing, just turning this this passion, this hobby, into something even more. So Chris, let's pretend like we're starting over. So let's say all of your equipment, let's say your equipment's been removed from your apartment, you no longer have a podcasting studio in your living room. Let's just say it all disappears. No equipment, no listenership, no website. Where would you start?
So it depends on what kind of show you want to design. And you have to decide what you want to say, first of all, and how you want to say it, and what kind of show you want to set up. If you want to do an interview show, which is very common, you probably only need a $70 Audio-Technica microphone that is a USB that you can plug into your computer. It sounds great. I think you might have used it in the past, Ryan. It is a really nice little mic that a lot of people use and get a lot out of. And if you just plug that into your USB and you start talking to people on Skype and you use Pamela Call Recorder and you can record those conversations and you're off to the races. Go to Fiverr.com and get some intro music or get some production done. Audio Jungle's another great place to get music and other production pieces. And poor Ryan's furiously writing notes to put this into the notes. So I'm sure you can get all this on the show notes. if you're like me, where I wanted to do an ensemble show and I wanted to do a step up, and I originally bought 4 Shure microphones and a board from Alesis, which was a multi-mix aid, and I bought some recorders. And now I don't think you need to do that. You did, you know, 6 years ago when I bought the stuff. Now really all you need is the Zoom H6, and this is like the best piece of podcasting technology out there. It has phantom power that will power any microphone. It can be used as a USB interface for your computer. You can take it up to 6 inputs with XLR inputs. I would buy one of those. I would buy, you know, some mic cords, and I would buy Shure SM48s or SM58s. The 48s are just as good as the 58s, but they're about $60 cheaper. And then you have a great sounding recorder that takes all of the stuff in, and you can get started. So the Zoom recorders are really nice, and they're only around $350, which is really a lot cheaper than I spent 6 years ago when I started piecing stuff together, and way less expensive than what I've got now. I'm talking into a $500 microphone, into a $800 board with $200 processors. You know, that's really where you should start. Is I wouldn't go crazy about the technology, and, you know, use Audacity to edit it. You don't need to go up to Audition yet. Most people do about 15 podcasts, realize they're not millionaires and famous, and so they stop doing their podcast. So I would just try and do it pretty cheaply and get your feet under your belt. And if this turns into something that you think is going to be a really good hobby or eventually a small business, then improve your equipment over time, but don't go overboard right away.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Back about 3 years ago when I got started, I think you just had to buy some higher-end stuff to sound good online. Because there's nothing worse than getting poor audio quality and trying to listen to that for an hour. I give up. Like, even if the content was great, if my ears are bleeding, I'm typically done with the show. But, you know, interestingly enough, listeners, if you remember episode 77, which was Agile Africa 2017, and episode 78, which just went out on October 16th, which is the Agile Coaching Summit, both of those episodes I actually recorded on an iPhone 7 Plus using the provided recorder app, you know, on the iPhone. And both of those came out sounding just fine with a little bit of tuning in Adobe Audition. And so for basically, you know, the cost of my cell phone, which I think we all have these smartphones now, I was able to put together two decent 30-minute episodes just with a cell phone, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and there's Shure makes a great little lav mic that you can plug directly into your cell phone, and I use that at work all the time for video production. And iRig has several different products that you can plug right into your iPhone, and you use that as a recorder too. So you can buy a $100 board, and if you have multiple people, and save yourself the Zoom. But I think that's a great idea. I mean, the actual microphone on the iPhones are really, really good now.
Yeah, so I think that's a great place to start because, like you mentioned, I think if you look at the market data, after about 7 episodes, most podcasters will quit. You know, they realize that it's a ton of work. You know, you and I put hours and hours and hours into our websites, our shows, the content. You know, for me, arranging guests, I mean, there's nothing, for even you too, you have an ensemble show, trying to get that diverse panel of people into the room every Thursday night must be a chore.
Yeah, I've got 20 different people here in Indianapolis, and then a core group of a few people, and some of that's, you know, changing because it's a tough commitment for people. And so I'm always committed, and I've got to be committed, and I am the one that is driving the bus, but you make it a fun experience for people to come and hang out, and it becomes the best part of everybody's week. So you have to make it fun, and you have to have fun. If you try and make it too serious, and you're not having fun with it, then you're not going to stick. And your audience isn't going to have fun with it. And I think that's why we've built an audience of 9,000 an episode, because people have fun listening to a group of friends sitting around a table talking about stuff. So there is that chemistry of friendship that we have around the table. So it is, and we also, I've used a lot of what I've learned over 15 years of radio and politics and media and applied it to the show. And I think I listen to so many new podcasts and they have no showbiz chops. You know, it's like, hey, Ryan, how was your week?
It was great, Chris.
Yeah. Cool. So did you do anything?
No, not really.
You know, whereas my niece cracked up the other day because she's 4, and my sister said, yeah, I watched that thing on your podcast and your radio voice sounds so different than your real voice. Well, this is my real voice, so if I'm talking to you, this is sort of how I would normally talk in an average way. But when I talk in the radio, I speak with volume and push from the diaphragm and talk with speed. So that way you as the listener are more accustomed to hearing what I sound like. And when I did that, my niece just lost it because she thought it was so funny that I just like my voice changed. And so there's just some of those techniques that I think you need to study, too, if you're going to do it right, because it's scary. There's a ton of different things, but really what it comes down to is having fun, doing a show that interests you, and I on a subject that you're interested in. I think I love doing this because I learned so much about libertarianism and politics. You do what you do because you learn so much about the craft that you are that you've dedicated yourself towards. It's fun to prep for the show because you learn about stuff you're interested in. So you've got to be really committed to doing something that you know you're not going to lose interest in a year and a half from now. And I will say, over 6 years of doing this, there are periods of my life where I don't want to talk about politics. I'm just done with it, like earlier this year. And so we kind of mold the content around culture and other stuff that we're a little bit interested in. And in some shows, we sucked it up because that's what the audience does want. So you really have to make sure that you're into it, that you're having fun, your friends are having fun if they're involved, and therefore your audience will have fun.
Yeah, I think those are great points. And so if we think about the progression as we've answered part of this question so far, so from an equipment standpoint, iPhone, for me, iPhone 7 Plus has been more than sufficient. The Zoom H6N is a great platform to work with some Shure SM48s. I'll go ahead on the website and put together a few different, you know, a low, medium, and high level package kind of ideas for people to check out, and maybe some links back to Amazon for them to take a look, just so you can kind of see the different, you know, you can get and you can burn your credit card up pretty fast buying audio equipment. But we'll put together a few ideas. Now, then you moved on to picking out, you know, your topic. And so I think it's important, like right now, the way I'm talking, I get a little amped up about this. You can hear the excitement. You can hear kind of the interest. You know, my normal voice is back like this, like Chris was saying. So something that you're passionate about, something that it will carry through to the audience, but also something that has longevity too, right? So like you're saying, politics can, there's always, especially now, there's always something going on each and every day for you to talk about. In my space, which is agile software development, there's always something going on, some new advancement, some new twist or nuance to discuss, and we keep it fresh and interesting. But I think that's important too, that you're passionate about your topic, that it's not some audience or money play. It's you wake up happy that you're going to meet with your friends and talk about this thing this day.
Well, I think if you want to be successful, you've got to pick a space and you pick a niche space, and then you look at the existing media in that space, and then you see, all right, how can I do this differently? And for like the libertarian movement, there were a lot of interview shows, and some of them are very good. There were a lot of people doing the foundations of libertarian philosophy, but there were monologue type shows. There wasn't anyone doing a roundtable like Meet the Press with different strains of libertarian thought. And there also wasn't a funny show. So so really what I tried to do was build a show that was kind of like a cross between Meet the Press and Howard Stern, with rotating characters that you invest in. And if I've made any mistake, it's probably investing too much in the characters and not enough in the Meet the Press stuff, which we're now kind of floating back towards and more of the news. And over the 6 years of the show, I'm amazed at how many people go back and download all 236 episodes and hearing our analysis of things that happened in 2013, you know, like when Ryan was on a lot, or going back and listening to the podcast that Ryan and I did together about breaking down news called The Shill Report, which is in the We Are Libertarians podcast feed. People go back and listen to that, and they still comment on it years later. Right. And it's very interesting to me to see that people do that, because it's timely to that time, but the principles are what they're really after. They're really after, because a lot in politics doesn't change. But what I do a lot now is something called newsjacking, where I make sure that I am titling the content and crafting that week's show about the conversation that is going on people's Facebook feeds. And I want to make sure that, A, it gives me a better chance to share, get shares, and grow natural discovery on YouTube and on iTunes. But also because people want to feel smarter. Like, you can never underestimate how incredibly selfish your audience is. And I say this with all the love and respect to your audience and to my audience, if this ends up in, you know, something in one of my feeds. People give you their time and give you their ears because they want something out of interacting with your content. And when people tune into We Are Libertarians, I want to make sure that they leave with information, either better understanding what the conversation or news story is, and B, giving them talking points that they can use when they discuss with their friends. So essentially what they get out of it is that they are smarter when they're talking with their friends. And that is what I'm trying to give them, and give it to them in a novel, interesting way that nobody else was doing. And I think that's why we've been successful, are those two principles. Making sure that you give your community something of value and giving it to them in a way that nobody else is doing. And you may not start out, like, we didn't start out where we're at now. We're much better at it now with all the different all the reps that we've had and thousands of hours of broadcasting. But we're getting ready to start evolving again and changing again and trying to really hone in on that core of our mission of making sure that people walk away better informed and entertained at the same time.
Yeah, I think a few things there, you know, checking out your market, right? So you checked out the other podcasts in the libertarian and political space, realized that there was a gap. We did the same thing on the Agile for Humans side. You know, there's some really great shows out there. You know, Vasco Duarte does the Scrum Master Toolkit podcast, where it's him talking to one Scrum Master in 15-minute segments every day of the week. Fascinating format, fills a need. You know, Josh Anderson and Bob Galen do the Metacast, and it's two people, the same two people every week or every month, depending on their cadence and how their lives are going, talking about really deep topics between the two of them. You know, This Agile Life, when it's not on hiatus, when they're actually publishing, shout out to John Sextrow, get back to work, buddy. It's an ensemble group, but it's pretty much a consistent group. So I decided with Agile for Humans, with all of those other formats going on, you know, it made sense to have rotating people coming in and out, discussing various Agile topics that we find online, like what Chris was saying. You know, what's the hot topic on Twitter this week? All right, let's discuss it. That way it's relevant to the people, to the community. It's relevant to, you know, many of the people that we follow on Twitter and who follow us back, and it leads to that kind of interesting conversation. So I think that's really important, to know the market, know what you're stepping into, and figuring out a format and a structure that could be unique. I think it's also interesting on the topic selection itself. Make sure you're relevant. You know, the fact that, you know, our old show from 2013 still gets listened to and commented on, there was something more than just, you know, talking about a news story. You know, we were able to pull forward principles about dissecting the news, or on Agile for Humans, we're able to talk about, you know, how do we maintain agility or follow the Agile Manifesto and bring those principles and values forward, regardless of topic. You know, so it's an interesting kind of take there as well, Chris. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just people want something of value, and you want to make sure that you give it to them.
Yeah, and that's first and foremost. There's been shows where it stayed in the can because it just wasn't worth going out. And it's hard to kill your darlings. You know, it's hard when you're editing, you're writing. It's hard when you're editing your podcast, and when you actually have to leave one on the recorder because it just wasn't good enough. I mean, that's painful. I'm sure you've had that experience too.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, there only if it's unlistenable technologically. I tend to be as open, authentic, and honest with my audience as possible. And there have been some episodes that have been real stinkers, and they're real clear about letting me know that they're stinkers. You know, I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, but I think that openness and authenticity and that honesty and that conversation that you have with your core audience breeds more core audience. And you build a community, and I know in the tech space it's such a phrase, but it really is what it is. I mean, our two Facebook groups, one for private donors and one for just the general public, you know, that those 1,300 people have a great time conversing with each other. And I learn a lot from all those different people, much more than I learned from our Facebook page of 87,000 people who really it's just kind of a public mess. Like, it's like, you know, don't go read the comment section on a newspaper. It's sort of the same concept there. But, you know, it is great to really build a community and get to converse with people, and they tell you what they want to hear. And this Thursday I'm doing a show that, you know, somebody who is a contributor of the show, a donor or a subscriber, I should say, not a donor for tax purposes. they wanted to hear this subject. And so I said, yeah, come on. And I'll bring on a couple experts and we'll talk about it. So, you know, I'm very receptive to hearing what they want to hear, because my job as a communicator, as an informer, is to give them relevant content that helps them in their daily life figure out all the mess of politics.
All right, Chris, so I've got my equipment. I have a topic. I've figured out the format, the ensemble cast. I've set my guiding principles that I want to bring value to the listeners. I want to make sure that I'm relevant, things like that. And I've recorded my first show. So yay me. I got the first one done, which is the hardest, because I don't know about you, but I'm my own worst critic and I hate the sound of my voice and I'm never smart enough and all those things. But once you get it captured and recorded and you get past all of that inner nonsense and you're ready to put it online, what do you do? Hey, everybody, Ryan Ripley here. Before Chris tells us how to get our recently recorded podcast online, we're going to bring you a quick message from TechWell and the Agile Connection community, and then right back to how to get your first podcast up and online. Have you ever been stuck on a project with questions or concerns on how best to move forward? Most of us have had a question or needed some tips at some point in our careers. Agile software development professionals have a free place to go for answers to their questions. Check out Agile Connection, the free online community for all things Agile. There's tons of free articles to search, interviews with software industry experts, a Q&A forum where you can ask your question and get peer responses, as well as experts checking in to help you out. Create a profile and network with other professionals, leave comments on articles, get the weekly newsletter for the latest articles released, access the searchable archive of hundreds of issues of Better Software magazine, and so much more. Agile Connection is a robust directory of information for anyone using, implementing, or growing their Agile practices. Discover more at well.tc/agilecommunity.
I use fireside.fm. There's a lot of great services out there like Podbean or Libsyn. Those are really great. But I use Fireside. I listen to the Dan Benjamin 5x5 network a lot, and I really like Dan, and he's been super responsive. And I actually recommended them, although Dan may not be happy about this, but the number one iTunes podcast currently is a Fireside hosted product. Now he's probably going, oh, I should have charged more for bandwidth. My friends over at Barstool Heartland have a podcast, and they said, what do we use? And I said, use Fireside. It's super easy. You know, the Chick McGee Show, the Bob and Tom Show, We Are Libertarians, we've all switched to Fireside because it's so easy to use, and it's cheap, it's consistent, it's got a great public-facing website. You don't need a website. It will just build one for you, and you can have blogs on it if you'd like. It's just very intuitive and user-friendly, and it shows you some of the other directories that you can go and add to, like Google Play, iTunes. It has, you know, Dan in the middle of the hurricane. he's in Austin, and his family's in Florida, and during those couple weeks, I had some issues, and he was on with me consistently trying to help me fix those issues. So I cannot say enough about Fireside.fm. It really is kind of the one-stop shopping that you need. Do not use Anchor. I know it's free, but they own your, it's kind of like free is what you get. Do not use SoundCloud. SoundCloud's business model is shaky. It will be out of business soon. Spreaker seems fine enough. I just like Fireside, but I do have our content on Fireside, on our website, on Stitcher, on Overcast, on Spotify, or not Spotify, on SoundCloud, on all of these different services, including YouTube. A huge amount of people listen to podcasts on YouTube, and I use Tunes to Tube. And I just try to make sure that my podcast is anywhere you listen, because you're not going to change your behavior to come listen to my podcast. So I have to adapt to you and make sure that it's easy to listen to me.
Oh, that's great. So I think I haven't used the Fireside FM site yet. So I'm one of those old school Libsyn to WordPress kind of guys, but that seems to work out okay as well. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah, they're a great service. And I think if you're technologically advanced, I think it's really, I have nothing bad to say about Libsyn. I just, the Fireside, I think for newbies is much easier.
Yeah. And so I think that's actually the recommendation I would give to all of those out there who are thinking, yeah, I want to get into this. Yeah, I want to try it. You know, the Libsyn WordPress feeds and all, that's an investment of time. Like, you're going to spend some time really unraveling that. Once it's set up, it's super nice. But I think Fireside.fm, it's been a great service for you. You've talked about it a lot on a number of your shows. I think you actually had the owner on your show at one point and discussed some of that with him. Or you were on his podcast. I don't remember which, but I remember hearing you talk to him. And it sounds like a great group of people, a great family that runs it. And I highly recommend it, too. So now we're at the point to where we have our equipment, we have our topic, our theme, our principles, our ensemble, our structure, our formats, all of those things ready. We've recorded. We get it loaded up to Fireside FM. We've used that to build out our site. So, Chris, how do we get people to listen to it?
It's a war of attrition. and this is the part that people don't want to hear. It took me probably 4 years before I started promoting the fact that I had a podcast. and a lot of therapy helped me get over myself. And now everybody knows I have a podcast because I use my social media to promote it. I'm always trying to find ways to get people to go back to what we do. Everybody's aware of it. Video has been a huge part of that. I think you have to do a couple things. You have to make sure you're discoverable, and you have to make sure that you take advantage of people's search habits. And in your iTunes description, if you look up We Are Libertarians, it's, you know, news and commentary from a libertarian perspective. So the title in iTunes is We Are Libertarians - News and Commentary from a Libertarian Perspective. Or, you know, and libertarianism may be worked in there too. So when people go to search libertarian or libertarianism or news, we're in there. We're not in the top 100 or 200 of podcasts, so we're not going to be found in the directory. The other discovery tool that I use is YouTube. It's the world's second largest search engine, and people go and search topics like the Las Vegas shooter, and, you know, we are in that feed. We're in that stream, and we get a lot of new people coming in that way. We use Facebook advertising. We have a big page that we just had a video that's got 500,000 video views. It's not a piece of our content, sadly, but it's something that went really viral and was a really good piece of content that spoke to a lot of people. And it got us a lot of likes on our Facebook page. Viral content on our Facebook page helps bring people into an awareness of who we are. So you just have to kind of... The second is you just keep grinding it out. You just keep doing it until you become an expert in your industry. Enough people start to find your content, and if it's good, they'll start talking about you, and they'll tell their friends. And, you know, once I got to a certain level, I found three other friends that kind of were at the same level, same commitment as I had, same good quality, and we swapped out promos. And so, you know, the three other libertarian podcasts that I promote, I drive listeners to them and vice versa. And now when people write the top libertarian podcasts, all four of us end up in those lists because we work together to kind of help build a collective audience. So you just have to grind it out, and people eventually figure out who you are. I mean, that first year we only had 72 listeners in our first 8 months of listenership. We only had 500 after the second. It wasn't until 2016, our fourth or fifth year, where after the 2016 election, we've been growing 1,000 a month since then. So we just became relevant, and people saw that we had a huge backlog of content and had a big presence because we've been around so long. And so they just trust us, and they give us a shot, and they like what they hear, and they stick around. So it is just doing it over and over and over and over until you get good at it and long enough that you become an industry expert. So, but you can help yourself with some of those little SEO tricks.
Yeah, so there definitely are ways to promote, to get higher rankings in Google and YouTube and all of those search engines. But I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. It's the grind. You know, Agile for Humans has been around 3 years now. It's just in this third year that we've seen a massive kind of upswing in the number of downloads and listens. And for those first 2 years, we always had fun, you know, to kind of circle back to your previous point. It's just fun getting on a Skype call with, you know, Don Gray and Woody Zuhl and Zach Boniker and all the guys and gals that come on the show. When Esther Derby pops in, or when we get the chance to talk to Johanna Rothman, or, you know, any Ellen Gottesdien or all these great people, you know, it's just fun. And so I never saw it as, oh, bummer, only 50 people downloaded this episode. That was a great conversation. I learned a lot from it, and I got to spend time with my friends. And that kind of gets you through those first couple of years where you're not getting as much exposure as you think you ought to get or that you would like to get. But once you get through that and you start into that year 3, 4, 5, I think you really see, as long as the content's good, you know, a lot of things have to be in place, but I think you see that pickup that kind of like what you're describing.
Yeah, and you've seen this as you were around and the right people heard what you were doing. You got invited to go speak at conferences, and as you go speak at conferences, all that does is just promote you more and more into the industry, and that helps grow. All of this is about social proof. Okay, I think the best thing that anybody can do is read books on evolutionary psychology and understand that we're basically animals. And I am a Christian and I do believe in Jesus, but at the same time, we are animals with certain prehistoric settings. And you know, we have to mimic, if we're trying to get audience, we have to mimic the things that make us, quote unquote, attractive. There's a great book called Jeffrey Miller wrote it. Jeffrey with a G. I forget what it is, but he's written a couple of really good books. One was about attraction, and it's one of the concepts is social proof. And I think it was an influence with Robert Cialdini too. You basically build influence by having other people talk about you. And if you can get as many people talking about you to show that you are someone that is high in rank, in societal rank or within your group, you'll build more authority. And that more of that authority gives you more eyeballs, essentially. And I think that's what you've done. Every time you step on a stage and somebody else is saying, this guy is an expert, listen to him, they go, oh, he's an expert, I should listen to him.
Yeah, I think that is definitely how it works. Along with, you know, every slide deck and every presentation has a slide dedicated to the podcast. So when I'm speaking in front of a crowd of, you know, 500 people in whichever city I happen to be in, they all get the plug for the podcast, and a number of them, I can always see the uptick from the city within my dashboard where, oh wow, there's an extra 200 downloads that night. Sometimes you can tie it back to those events, but I think you're right. You're just constantly building that social influence and credit. And it's back to that authenticity that you talked about, just that, you know, they people start to like and trust you. And it's a really bizarre thing because they've never met you. But it's a fascinating phenomenon that does start to take place over time. It's also delicate, right? How often have we seen other podcasters shatter that by making a really, really bad move online? Or by doing something that was that just lacked integrity or was just underhanded. And so I think it's important for people to realize, too, people, when they're listening to you for an hour or two a week, they start building up a relationship with you even though you've never met.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a fascinating thing where when I go to these conferences to speak at, they come up and they start talking about some of the things that we've talked about on the show, and they say, wow, you really helped me here, and this was great. And it's almost like as if we're friends. And it's a really awkward and interesting thing all at the same time to get used to, right?
Yeah. No, it is odd to have people know who you are when you don't know them. And yep. Even on a very small scale. I mean, and I work with people who are legitimate celebrities. And, you know, but it is kind of odd when people know who you are. And it's flattering. I mean, it's flattering for people to respect your opinion. And it is a great ego stroke. And at the same time, you have to greatly respect that. And I will say that my podcast success didn't really start to things didn't really start to gel as a product until I went through a couple of years of therapy and read a lot of books on self-help, not like, you know, The Road Less Traveled by Scott M. Peck. I'm talking about Brené Brown and Matthew McKay and Melody Beattie and really doing some hard work on myself. Scary Close by Donald Miller was a hugely impactful book. These books really helped me understand myself, human interactions, how to have good relationships with people. And I think that if you don't understand your pitfalls in personal relationships, you're not going to have you're not going to be able to build a successful community, because we have a relationship. I have a tough conversation that I have to have tomorrow with my audience, and I'm worried about it, just as I would be having that tough conversation with any other human in my life, because they respect me and my opinion, and I value that, and I respect their opinion and value them, and even more so since they started giving us money through Patreon, you know, because then it becomes an even more personal thing that they're investing in me, and I don't want to let them down. I mean, and I really, I'm not always a great person, just like anybody else. I'm a complex human being, but I do my best to try and treat other people with respect, and that extends to my podcast audience. You have to just work on yourself and really understand your pitfalls and your strengths as a human being in terms of interacting with others before you can really build a good community.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think even from my own profession, which is agile coaching, you know, what I found was that to become a better coach, I really had to work on myself first. And I think that that's really helped with the building of the Agile for Humans community, because it's, you know, like you said, you're building a community of people, and they like, know, and trust you. And that's something that you really have to work on, protect, and grow. And it if you don't have your personal principles in place, you don't have your sense of integrity in place, it just becomes very difficult for that to flourish. So I think it's great that you brought that out too. So at this point in the journey, we got our equipment, we know what we want to say, we know who we want to say it to, we know who we want to say it with, we've recorded, we're online with fireside.fm, we're promoting on Twitter, we're speaking at conferences, we're telling everyone we know we have a podcast, and we're online, so I think we've hit that end of the journey. What are some of the things that that you learned after putting yourself out there as a public person that you think people ought to know, besides don't read the comments?
I do read the comments, but you do eventually kind of... I can only be called so fat so many times before I just stop caring. You know what I mean? Like, it's such an easy thing. And I have learned to really rely on my friends for counsel, because I want to go at people and I want to be petty and go full Donald Trump on people. And I just have to have friends like my buddy Harry Price or Ryan and say, you know, don't do that. That's not a good idea. So, you will get negative comments, and what you really have to understand is that you're not for everybody, and what you produce and put into the world is not for everybody, and it is for some people, and those are your people. And I think Brené Brown and a lot of her books and work have been extremely helpful in me understanding that, because creativity at its core is vulnerability, and I don't think that you can be a great creator of anything unless you really can be comfortable with vulnerability and putting yourself out there in a major way, and understanding that some people aren't going to like what you do and you can't take that personally. I think that's been hugely important. And for every one comment, there's 100 people who love what you do and will make those great comments and reward you with the gift of friendship. And I have been blessed to become friends with so many different people because of my work, and it's been such a great honor, and it's worth it. And if I had never taken the chance, my life would be immeasurably worse had I not been courageous and started to put this out in the world. I mean, it was very daunting in the beginning to say, I am a political commentator. I am an expert in politics. Listen to me. And I still don't feel that way, and I don't think that I ever will. And I think there's something called the imposter syndrome that is very real for anyone who creates content or anyone who is trying to be successful. You will always feel like an imposter, like somebody's going to figure out what a fraud I am and will say, you don't know what you're talking about. And then everyone will figure out what a fraud you are and stop listening to you. Hasn't happened to me yet, and I'm sure that maybe it will, maybe it won't. And at the end of the day, I just try to say, listen, I'm just trying to figure this stuff out. I'm not like Rush Limbaugh. I know the every answer. But things will evolve. Things will change. You have to be okay with change, and you have to be okay that sometimes things aren't going to work out the way that you wanted. You're going to make mistakes. I tried to program the show a little bit differently this year and a little more personally in the absence of a political cycle. And I think that that was a mistake. I think that we got a little too into the weeds in people's personal life, and it not only hurt us, but it also hurt our listenership. And I have to just say, like, I made a mistake, and that was a mistake that I don't want to make again. And so you have to just kind of understand that it will evolve over time, and you can only do that if you're willing to change. So again, back to a lot of personal stuff. Second, I would say, don't be afraid to promote yourself. Don't be afraid to promote your product. Maybe not yourself, but your product. I give so much of my heart and soul to We Are Libertarians, and I love what I do, and I love the people that I do it with, and I love the audience that we've built, and I want more people to get in on this awesome thing that I'm creating. And if I'm too shy to tell people about the awesome thing that is happening in this little community, then they're going to miss out on the great opportunity of it being involved in it. And why would I want to rob them of the great fun that all of us are having? And so I have really pushed it the last year and saying, hey, this is awesome. You guys want to come check it out. And the people that check it out, 25%, 50% like it, maybe. I mean, so... And that's that, but that's great. I mean, it's awesome. And don't be afraid to ask for money. And it took me 5 years to get to this point, and I just couldn't afford to run it. It was costing $100 a month, and I was just like, this is getting too expensive. I need to offset the cost. I'll ask people for donations. We got about $100-$200 a month in donations. Then I got on Patreon and did rewards and goals, and we got $1,000 a month in 1 month of asking and rewarding people with bonus content. So I think you really shouldn't be afraid, because there was a point, I remember, and Ryan was at this meeting in 2013 where our buddy Joe Ruiz said, how can we make money on this thing? And I said, right now, I don't think we can. I don't think we have the audience, but I bet you at some point the audience will just go, how can I give you money? Thank you for doing this. And that happened in 2016. And people just want to give you money to help support all the benefits that you give to their lives. And that's such an honoring thing. And so don't be afraid to go on Patreon and build something cool and say, hey, if you like this, you know, but I wouldn't, you could do it the first episode out, I guess, but maybe wait till episode 30.
Right.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate you walking us through how to build this out. I mean, it's been a long time since I've started this. The theme, though, I just wanted to call this out to listeners. So on the Agile side, we do a lot of inspection and adaptation, right? So we're continually inspecting the things we're doing. We're making small incremental changes to just basically continually improve. And I think it's awesome how, you know, from a different profession, a different field, a different background, you've come to that same conclusion of just constant tweaks. Some of your experiments work, some of them don't. Sometimes you just have to throw your hands up and say, wow, that was really a bad idea. Let's try something different. And it's the same thing on the Agile for Humans podcast. We've tried, I haven't gone solo yet on an episode. I don't think I'm going to do that. But we've tried different formats, different topics, a few different bits. And, you know, the honest sitting around the campfire style show where we just throw a topic out and people just discuss in an open, honest way seems to work best. And we're making constant tweaks to that, but we're not going to get away from that in the future. So I think it's great that this theme of just continual experimentation and improvement is that kind of like icing on this how to podcast cake. So thanks for that. And really thanks for being here and sharing your vast experience, not only in podcasting, but in, you know, nationally syndicated radio. You certainly are an expert in this space, and we really appreciate you bringing that expertise to the Agile for Humans listenership.
Yeah, and thank you, Ryan. I mean, I've listened to two or three episodes of your show. It's not in my sphere of interest or influence necessarily, but I have been impressed, and I learned the same thing. Like, wow, okay, Ryan's kind of talking about how this applies to the broadcasting industry, like that constant experimentation and adaptation. So I think that's really cool. And secondly, I just want to say Ryan is an amazing guy, and Ryan has been such a good friend to me and to the We Are Libertarians podcast. And, you know, when I've needed favors or help, he's always been there to help me, and hopefully vice versa. I think that you are in really good hands with my good friend Ryan here, and I'm so happy for his success. You know, when we ended Show Report, he went on to do his own thing, and I'm just so glad that he was able to find something that gave him meaning. And I hope that you will take the same risk that he did and build something really cool, because Ryan and I can both tell you it's worth it.
Yeah, this has been career changing for me. I know it's been career changing for you. It's been totally worth taking the leap. So, and thanks for that. I appreciate all that you do and have done for me. And I think we're going to continue to collaborate and work together in some form or another for many, many years. So really appreciate just your friendship too. So Chris, at this point, this is our shameless plug time. I know you do the same thing on your show. I might have stolen this section from your show. Anything you want to promote, anything that you've got going on. I know Chris has jumped into live shows, which is pretty wild, down at Morty's Comedy Joint in Indianapolis, Indiana. He'll occasionally hop on the stage with a few of his cast members and just put on a great show. If you got any of those going on, let us know. But the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, we just added a second show a week, and that was a scary thing because you don't know if you're going to cannibalize your numbers by giving too much content, which is a thing. But the audience has adjusted and responded well to it, and the two shows are kind of different. So they're, you know, again, we're giving them something within format. That's why, like, doing a solo show for you, I don't think your audience would respond as well to it, just because it's not what you do. Like, I've thought about doing that at We Are Libertarians, and I've thought against it just because it would be kind of they come to us for the ensemble cast, so you got to stick true to that, but you can make tweaks within that format. And so we're getting ready to tweak just a little bit more and consistently perfect it. So until we really get that, I think we're at minimum viable product. There's a great book called Content Inc. that applies Eric Ries's startup model to content. And I think Content Inc. is a great book, as is Michael Hyatt's platform. I would definitely plug those guys. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Spangle, ChrisSpangle. ChrisSpangle.com, WeAreLibertarians.com. Feel free to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat if you want. I'm accessible. And if you've got any questions, feel free to hit me up, Chris at Chris-Spangle.com, and I'll be happy to take your questions if you've got any for me.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I think we'll try to funnel some questions to the comment section of the post when this show goes out. So maybe you and I can get together in a few weeks and take a look at some of the questions if people post them, and maybe we'll put some answers together and answer them there as well. But really appreciate you making yourself available. As for me, for the listeners, I will put together kind of an annotated journey that we just went through. So here's some equipment that you might find useful. Here's some sites where you can host your podcast. Here's some ideas around formats. And just go through that process. Here's a link to Audacity and Adobe Audition. You can decide how much you want to spend and just kind of provide that guidance so that you can go through and get that initial show out there and see how you like it. And then, like I said, Chris and I, maybe perhaps we'll answer some questions in the comment section as they come up. We won't do that forever because we have other things to do, but initially we'll help you with your issues and let's get some new podcasts out there. I'd love to see, you know, off of this episode, 5, 6, 10, how many ever new Agile podcasts pop out there with some great content. So I know we do have a wildly talented audience, but I'd love to hear your voices come out. And I hope this show and Chris's great advice has helped many of you make that leap forward. So Chris, thank you again, sir. It's great getting to spend some time with you. Congratulations on all your success this year with We Are Libertarians, the Wall Network, and the day job. I mean, all of that stuff has been fantastic to see. And I hope we get a chance to do this again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to Agile for Humans. Let's keep the conversation going. Drop us a question on Twitter @AgileForHumans or visit agileforhumans.com.